The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The account of the cleansing of the 10 lepers has been a gospel reading for Thanksgiving for many, many years. We know how it goes. The dramatic questions: were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? When we hear this reading, it's easy for us to identify with this foreigner, the Samaritan who had returned to praise God and give thanks to Jesus. After all, we've set aside other things we could be doing this evening to return to church and give thanks to God. Unfortunately, such an application of our text is not really adequate. So it's good to take some time to reflect on this account once again. It began well. At the outskirts of a village, Jesus was met by 10 lepers. This was a normal place for lepers to be. Leprosy is a chronic infectious disease that affects the skin and the peripheral nerves. In Jesus' day, it was incurable. Thus, lepers were excluded from contact with healthy people. In effect, they were under quarantine for as long as the symptoms were evident. If what they had was true leprosy, Hansen's disease as we know it today, they would never be able to rejoin their family and community. Other conditions with similar symptoms might clear up eventually. Then the leper could present himself to a priest and offer the prescribed sacrifices for sin and guilt. When that was complete, he would be clean and could resume his place in society. The 10 lepers in our text had clearly heard about Jesus, that he had power from God to heal and to cleanse. Beyond that, they believed that he could help them as he had helped others before. So standing at a distance, as the law required, these 10 called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. This is the prayer of people who recognize their need and know that they cannot help themselves. Have mercy on us. This prayer doesn't assert any worthiness, doesn't claim to be deserving of help. Have mercy on us. This prayer relies on the goodwill or compassion or love of the one being addressed. Have mercy on us. This Prayer trusts that the one so addressed not only can help, but also has the will to help. Have mercy on us. This prayer, in short, is a prayer of humble faith. Have mercy on us, the ten prayed. And Jesus responded with mercy. That's implicit in what he says. Go and show yourselves to the priests. There was no reason for them to go to the priests if their leprosy remained. And yet Luke tells us they did not experience an instantaneous recovery. They walked by faith and not by sight. He writes, and as they went, they were cleansed. This is where the sin of ingratitude arises. As they were on their way to the priests, it became apparent to the ten that they were healed, that the disease was gone. They had cried to Jesus for mercy. They had trusted that he could help them. And by his authority, they were now made clean. No doubt they were excited, overjoyed at this marvelous turn of events. They had believed Jesus could help. They had prayed to him, and now they were healed. But it seems that their happiness was all about the gift. They seemingly gave no thought to the giver. They simply continued on their way to the priests. I'm afraid that we all too easily fall into exactly this same sin. When good things happen to us, what do? We readily rejoice, to be sure. But do we always rejoice in the giver? Or is our rejoicing often only in the gift? I'm afraid that often we're like the young child who has been dreaming of and hoping for and anticipating a particular present. Finally, the day comes, and he opens the package, and his eyes light up, and he's so excited, it's as if there's nothing else in the whole world but this one thing. How different this is from the reaction of the girl who sees the ring and immediately embraces the young man who has just asked her to marry him. The ring is great, and she'll put it on in due time. But right now, she's overjoyed with him and with his love for her, of which that ring is but a token. That's the way it was for one of those men who had had leprosy. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and then fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Luke doesn't record this man's words, but we can imagine him running and dancing down the road, laughing and shouting at the top of his lungs, "Look what God has done for me! I had leprosy, but now I'm clean! God has had mercy on me! The Lord has healed my flesh. He's restored my skin. Look, it's as soft and fresh as a little baby's. Truly, the Lord is gracious and merciful. He abounds in steadfast love. For the Lord has had mercy on me. He remembered me in my troubles. He has restored my life." And then, probably by now out of breath, the man humbly falls at Jesus' feet. "Thank you, thank you, thank you for having had mercy on me. What a wonderful blessing you've given me, Jesus. Oh, thank you so much." And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." What's going on here, we might wonder. Jesus had already acknowledged this man's thanks with his rhetorical questions about the nine. Is this just a gracious dismissal? Why does he say your faith has made you well? After all 10 of them were cleansed. Those words that Jesus uses here are the same he used on other occasions where they're translated, your faith has saved you. Remember, part of the reason the lepers were to go to the priests was to make offerings for their sin and guilt. Then the priest would declare them clean. We don't know whether this Samaritan ever went to the priests. But after he had come back to Jesus, he really wouldn't have had to. There was no longer any need for him to make an offering for sin or guilt. Jesus had just absolved him. Your faith has saved you. In coming to Jesus, this man cleansed from leprosy, here's the true high priest of God. As a divine victim, Jesus would offer his blood on the altar of the cross as satisfaction for the sin of the world. Here, this man, this priest, declares the Samaritan clean, righteous and blameless before God. In returning to Jesus, this Samaritan had come to the one who is at once the ultimate priest and the ultimate sacrifice and the true temple of God. And Jesus, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, says to him, your faith has saved you. Now you have eternal salvation through faith. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Day after day, God is merciful to you and to me, not only responding to our prayers in whatever way is best for us, but doing far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. He is ever working all things, not only those in which you rejoice, but also those you dread and mourn, working all of them for your eternal good. For your Lord truly is merciful and gracious to you, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving your iniquity and transgression and sin. The Lord forgive you for shallow thankfulness, grant you a truly grateful heart, and throughout life sustain you in faith in Christ to life everlasting. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.